remember this weekend too that it's more than just about picnicking. It's about those who have given their lives, that you and I can sit here today. And I never forget about that. I really have to work on it when I ponder it and I think about it. And I think about losing my own brother. It really can take me in a difficult place. I'm challenged over our country right now, over some of the things that, you know, that the leadership does, and that, and this is an upcoming election year, and I know it's very volatile. I want you to know that the Bible says that God, He'll place those in authority who He wants. And even if you don't agree, and I don't agree with many things, I'm not going to make this a political pulpit ever, but we're called to pray for our leaders, and you need to do that like never before. But besides all of that, that does not negate the blood that has been poured out, that this country can be the greatest country, and it is to this day, on the face of this earth. So don't minimize that ever. Amen. Take a drive, a walk through a cemetery this week. You say, oh, Pastor, that sounds, why would you do that? It'll help you to remember some that have given their lives. And just take it all in, okay? Okay? Say, okay, Pastor, amen. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning on this thought again, discovering life. Last week, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. If you don't have it underlined and circled in your Bible, it's in Job chapter 14, verse 7. It said, there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches again like a plant. That there is hope for you. And I love the song today to everyone who's hit their limit. It's not over yet. Isn't that beautiful? No matter where you are, no matter what you've encountered, I want to help you today. God's word wants to help you. And I want to talk about this in the whole scope of dealing with difficult people, challenging people. And if you're here today and you think that I'm directing this to you, I'm not. It has nothing to do with you. Let me put it on me. It has everything to do with me. I spend a better part of my life in conflict resolution, helping people to learn to get along with one another. And I'm reminded of this scripture, and it's in Romans chapter 7 in verse 21. It's a very familiar scripture. Paul said, I've discovered this principle of life. And when you discover principles in life, you've got something. He says that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Has anybody else ever had that happen, or am I the only one here? He said, I love God's law with all of my heart, but there is another power that is working inside of me, and it's at war with my mind. I think things that I shouldn't think. I imagine things that I shouldn't imagine. Fear grips me. A myriad of emotions come across, and they begin in my mind. And Paul says, I want to do what's right, but he says there's this lower nature, this is old man inside of me that's continually drawing me to itself. He said, there's another person within me. He said, this power makes me a slave to sin, and that's still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am because of that power that's drawing him. He said, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25 is our answer. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I can be a slave to that sin. And He comes to you and I today and says He's brought the power for you to overcome that lifestyle of slavery to the old nature that is in you. Because God, when you became born again and gave your life to Christ, there was an old nature in you that's trying to hang on. But the Bible says that your old nature, your old life, your old body is decaying. Whether I like it or not, whether I want to accept it or not, I'm getting older day by day. I can't do what I used to do. I don't have the strength. I get aches and pains. The old life, and it wants to hold on. But I have to understand that inside of me, because I have been born again, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are gone. Behold, he's making all things new. There is a greater dimension inside of me that has a desire to pull me into the glory and into the victory of Jesus Christ. But the old nature continually wants to hold on to me. And it wants to keep me in that. And it wants to keep me in that place when I'm dealing with others or people are, I'm trying to serve people and I'm trying to understand the complexities of relationships and family and people and their past and what they've been through and what they're going through and how to discern and how to get along and how to deal with that in our lives. And I'm sure that nobody else has ever had this challenge in your life where you had to deal with anybody that was difficult. I know I'm probably the only one here, right? But there's some things that you have to look at. You have to be mindful of God's view about others. It's just not all about you and I. Sometimes we have to learn to trade places and find out where people have been and what they have been through. And I've learned this over a few years now doing what I do, that usually people that go through challenges and failures and processes now on this earth, now in this time frame, they just didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be this person that is destroying me and people around me. That in their bloodline, somewhere, somehow, that was inserted into them and they are acting out what they were born into. Their bloodline, their parents, their grandparents. And so it causes me, when I think that way, to have empathy on other people and to help them understand, okay, why is it like this? Why are they doing this? I have to be mindful of how God looks at them. Then I have to be mindful of the words that I speak when I want to address it. Because in your mouth carries a powerful weapon, and it's called the words that you speak. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power in it of life and of death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Can I tell you something today? That when you use negative words, it's like a boomerang that comes out of your mouth and it'll come right back and land on you. And you also, you got to be mindful in challenging situations to be mindful of what you did to create what's going on. Because every one of us has a role in the situation. And we have to learn to deal with it and deal in our own lives with a dignity and have an emotional respect for who we are as well. How you look at it. Matthew 22:39, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God. And then he said after that, he said, the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love you. And a lot of times in dealing with challenging situations, we don't have a love for us. And if we don't love who God has made us to be, we can't love others. Come on today. You have to believe that God can rescue and save that brokenness in that challenging situation. And you also need to be mindful before God of what you should do. Watch what you're thinking. How are you going to determine what you should do? Just by coming off the cuff and responding the way you think you should, or responding the way God has called you to respond? Because when you and I are born again, we take on a whole new image. We don't respond like we used to. Now we respond the way he's called us to. And number five, be mindful of what God can do. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who's able, he can do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So how about this? When I look at me, do I need to work on me today? Am I willing to look at my own life and say, hey, look in the mirror and say, you need some help? Matthew 18:3 says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. That means not for you to run around with your thumb in your mouth. Boy, I got to be careful in this. But for you to have the ability to forgive like children forgive. And some of you hold on to that stuff. I love, you know, when I'm dealing with my grandkids, listen, there's nothing more that I'd rather do. Even, you know, I've seen the kids, they get playing, and one of them gets a little rough, and they cuff the other one, and one comes in crying, and I'll take them out there, and we'll look at them, and now my boys do it. I don't get to do it much, but did you do this? Yeah, but I didn't mean to. Tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. Now tell him you forgive him. I forgive him. You know, in a moment, they're back playing together. I used to do that with my boys. They get in a fight. Tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. Tell him you forgive him. Now hug him. I don't want to hug him. Hug him. They do this. Ooh, like that. No, you put your arms around him and hug him. Well, can I learn? Do I need some work? Can I learn to put others first? John Maxwell calls it the high road principle. He said there's three roads. He said there's the low road with dealing with people. You can treat them worse than you're being treated. You can do the middle road. You can treat others like you are being treated. Or you can take the high road. You can treat others better than they would ever even consider treating you. Come on today. How many of you want to take the high road and live like Jesus has called you to live? He says if anyone wants to be first, he must be the last and be the servant of all. And then I want to tell you, you've had a break. How about you giving someone else a break today? The truth of it is that some of you are staying where you're at because you haven't cut anybody any slack. Yet you've been cut slack. Come on. Help somebody. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says, bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you might have against one another. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. And you know how that is? He doesn't even remember it. And can I love like Jesus did? He says love in 1 Corinthians 13:5 keeps no record of wrong. Some of you need some help on that. So I'm going to close with this. Take this home with you. Number one, you need to learn to invest in the important relationships. Nurture them. Feed them. Build them. Husbands and wives, start right in your own home. And do it with the people that will make a difference in your life. Get people in your life that you can invest in. And you can allow them to invest in you. Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Build, nurture. Number two, consider again relationships that have been strained. And I know this is the hardest. And I'm not telling you it's going to work in every situation. But Paul says in Romans 12, he said, don't repay anyone evil for evil. I don't care if somebody backed up and dropped off on your front step. Don't you do it back to them. You are a Christian. You are born again. The Spirit of Jesus is living in you. You do not live by, I'm going to get back at them kind of lifestyle. He goes on to say, he said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do it. And number three, I will redefine those that I allow to have influence over me. This is monumental. You keep on letting the same voices speak the same thing in you, guess what you're going to have? The same outcome. You have to let some new voices have influence in your life. Let them help you. Let them strengthen you. And it won't always be easy or convenient. And you won't always walk away thinking, that was so fun. You might walk away and say, man, that was hard today. But anytime it's hard, it always produces muscles. Come on today. Proverbs 27:19, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown in the kind of friends he chooses. My mom used to say, I know where you've been by the people you're hanging out with. I hated that when she said that to me. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, or for what righteousness and what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And the answer is none. You got to get over that. You got to move past that. You got to get some right people in your life. And number four, I'm going to initiate some new and meaningful relationships. You see, people, I've been trying to hook up a meeting with a man in El Paso, Texas. His name is Charles Nieman. He's an incredible man. He's got a church of about 14,000 people. He speaks at the Dream Center in L.A. He's good friends with Tommy Barnett. And Tommy Barnett's 78 years old. He's my hero. I've got every card he's ever handwritten and sent to me. I keep it. I frame them. I love them. But I know he's 78. This other man is about 64, 65. And about 3 years ago, his wife died. She was diagnosed with cancer. Beautiful lady. And 2 months later, she's gone. He's burying her. He's alone. And he said, I could go out and do something really foolish. But he says, I've got children, grandchildren. And he said, I got a church, a nation, and a world that is watching every move I make. And I'm going to make moves that are honorable and righteous. And when I heard him say that, I said, I'm going to connect with that man. I'm going to go. So I've been working at this for a year and a half with his secretary, trying to find. He's going all the time. And I said, I don't want nothing. I finally had to get Pastor Tommy Barnett's secretary to call his secretary to tell them I'm not just a loony. I mean, I am a little bit, but I'm not that kind of scary loony. For them to say, oh, okay, because all I want to do is sit across from him, and I want him to look into my eyes and speak to me those words and tell me you're going to go for the distance, you're going to be a man of God. I need that in my life if I'm going to do great things in the world that he's called me to live in. And you do too. Ephesians 2:19, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Do it. Don't wait for it. If you want to get close to somebody, only one's got to move. Amen. That's it. I love you. Come on. Give God a big hand clap of praise today. Debbie or Rufus, close your eyes, bow your head. Oh, what a great weekend. What a great day. I feel like I overdressed with this suit on a little bit, though. I don't know if I should have worn a muscle shirt and t-shirt and shorts. But I just didn't think I'd glorify God with it. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I give you all the praise and the glory today because you're good and you do good things. And God, I know that there's some here that maybe some of these words that I spoke today, it's stretching them a little. And I pray that people who needed to hear this will just not walk out of here and do the same thing that they've done day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I pray that today we would engage in the manner and in the lifestyle, that we will not be caught up in the old way of life. We will not be pulled back into what somebody said we were, but we will be launched forward into the purpose, the destiny, and the plan that you have for our lives. I want some of the prayer people to come down to the front right now. I'm going to close in prayer. Listen, your head's bowed and your eyes closed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, before you leave today, you need to come down here and ask one of these prayer people to pray for you. Every one of them can pray. It's not joining a church. It's nothing. It's you giving your life to Christ. Some of you live in that old lifestyle year after year, and you're wondering, you're looking for somebody to give you something to help you to the next day. And Jesus comes and says, I don't want to just give you a loaf of bread. I want to teach you how to plant and to grow so that you can live your life greater than you ever thought you could. And he wants you. He died for you. And you can give him your life today. You can come down and just say to somebody, will you pray for me? I want to give my life to Christ today. For some of you, this is a weekend, this is a week. If you're like I am, I'm feeling the weight of the loss in family. Maybe you're connected with other family. Maybe you're just feeling sorrowful. Maybe you're going through something. God wants to help you. He wants to lift you. He wants to come alongside of you. Hold your hand as you're facing any challenge in your life. He wants to be that to you today. You can get help with that. When I say amen, I just want you to get out of your seat. I'm going to dismiss everybody. But if you need prayer, I want you to just come to the front today and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, We want to say thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your hand upon our lives. Have your way in every single one of us, I pray today. I pray blessing over this church and the people here today and the work of your hand in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I love you. Amen. Give God another hand clap of praise. That's for the Lord today.